Tuesday night, what we do, which I love doing, spending a few moments together in prayer, approaching the throne of grace together as an assembly of believers. I'd like to kick off the request. Went home for Christmas, and we have traditions, and everybody came over to my mother's, and so I walked in, and I was already there for the night, and people started coming in. People started coming in, and family members, and so I came out of the room, and there was this young teenager, about, well, 16, found out, but that's what she looked like. And I was so embarrassed, I had to ask my brother. I called my brother over, and I said, "Who's that?" And he kind of looked at me funny and said, "Well, that's Evelyn. That's my sister. That's my sister's daughter. And my niece." "Oh, okay." And so we go through the morning at the 3 and then have a lunch, and that's an experience at my house. And so they were kind of cleaning up, and this girl comes over and kind of pulls on my shirt. And I said, "Yeah, Rebecca." And she said, "Can I talk to you?" And just by saying that, she started, her emotions started taking control, or at least became vivid. So I said, "Certainly." So we stepped back in a private area and started talking. And she said, "If heaven, 16 years old, if heaven is so wonderful, why do we not want to commit suicide?" I went, "Oh my God, don't lay this on me." And so we talked about 2.5 hours. And what it came out being was that my niece was not talking about herself, which I assumed right away, but she was talking about 16 years old, about a friend of hers that are a couple, another boy and a girl that are a couple, boyfriend, girlfriend. And they were going to have a New Year's Eve teenage suicide, love suicide. And so we talked. And first of all, we went through Gospel 1, the gospel of salvation, redemptive salvation. If you were to die, and I just talked about that before we got into anything. If you were to die, and I thought I was talking about her, you were to die and be standing face to face with God, and God said, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you say? And I love your honesty. A lot of times I get, "Well, I've been trying to live good," and I get the normal religious answers, or I do this, or I do that, or I'm this, I'm that. And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Honey, is that what you would tell God?" And she said, "Yes, that's what I would have to tell him. I don't know." And I said, that's good. If you're that clear with me. And so we went through the whole gospel. And I hope that if you lead people to Christ, or conversations with them about Christ, people, because when I went through these things, Jeff, what I did at the church, where you invited me to come, and Susan was there, and we just talked about the Christian gospel. And people hate the Christian gospel now. They used to love it. They hate the Christian gospel. And the Christian gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So we start with this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Okay. And then we went through the whole deal very tenderly, very very quietly in the room. First of all, we asked the question, first of all, what does it mean to be saved? What does that even mean? Before we go any further, what does that mean? Why do Christians talk about being saved? And so we went through that concept. What does it even mean to be saved? And so we talked about that, and then we talked about, you know, why Jesus Christ? Why Jesus Christ? And I was very had a good time with her, because I learned a lot about her, and in just a brief conversation, no church at all. And, you know, I went through the thing, you know, this is very, it seems very narrow-minded, and people attack. You Christians are very narrow-minded, Rebecca, is what was said to us. You're very narrow-minded. If people don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. Isn't that very narrow-minded? And so I kept looking for something to write on. All I found was boxes that Mom had been packing and unpacking, so I wrote on boxes. And so we went through, well, why Jesus Christ? And at that point, we went through the great battle between God and Satan, and how God brought man on the scene, and Satan came in the garden and broke that relationship by sin, which resulted in death. And we talked about spiritual death, and this is why people need to be saved. And then as a result of the spiritual death by sin, which always results in death, even for the believer, always results in death. And each step, I just kind of stopped, and we're together on this and this type of thing. And then I showed her that now man is under the dominion of the kingdom of Satan, and broken with God. He's dead in sin, and now he is condemned to eternal damnation from God because of his spiritual death, and he has control here. And then I showed her how Satan says, God can't save. There's nothing that God can do because man is unrighteous and God's righteous, and we went through that, how God is holy and man is unholy. So it gets back to what we studied on Sunday morning, and because it's very important this coming Sunday morning, what God can and can't do. This is one of the greatest areas of testing of faith, what God can and what I think God can and cannot do. I don't think God can save man, because man is not saved worthy. Man is unrighteous and God is perfect. So we went through that. Then we went through how Satan understood the righteousness and justice of God, or what we call the holiness of God. He understood that. And that's why he said, there's nothing that God can do about man's sinful state. Only one thing that Satan didn't plan on was the love of God, the magnitude of it, that he would send his son to die on the cross, to bear the judgment, first of all, of the condemnation of the sin nature, and bear the judgment for all the sins that we have committed, put them all on himself, and then offers life. And then that brought us then to, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be delivered from righteousness and justice, judgment of God. It means to be delivered from sins and personal sins and spiritual death. It means to be delivered from the power of Satan. So we kind of worked through our way of what salvation meant. Why Jesus Christ? Because he is the one that, he is the only one that God sent to bear this judgment of sins on the cross. And taking ahead, went through these things, and we talked about love, the love of God, why it becomes the great issue. So what God, for Satan, people, if Satan can understand righteousness and justice, but Satan cannot understand love. It defies his understanding, and this makes him very angry. It makes anyone angry that can't understand the love of God, that will do the things that we're in the midst of studying. And so, here's the love of God, and this is now answers why Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be saved? All you have to remember is the three sides of the triangle. Why Jesus Christ? The love of God. He bore the judgment of the sins. Then we took a look at why faith, and what is faith, and how that's all that a dead man can do, a person who's spiritually dead, is just put forth faith. So, we went through this, and had a lot of fun just talking with her. I told her I'm very happy that my niece cares that much about her friends, that she cares this much and cry that they are going to do this. So I just hit her dead center, and I said, well, we've gone through all of these things. I said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as Savior? And she said, yes, I do. And she asked how, and so we went through the faith thing again, and she accepted Christ right there, and I went to pray for her. We're sending her some tapes and sending her some stuff. I'm going to try to keep in touch with her as much as she'll let me. And I said, now do you have something to tell your two friends? First of all, I asked her, now do you know for a fact that your two friends have ever did what you just did? Have they ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith only and by faith alone? And she said, no, I don't. And I said, well, now do you have something to tell them? And she says, yes, I do. And I said, are you going to tell them? And I just pushed him this. And she said, yes, I am. So we went through this whole thing, and it would just thrill me personally, between you and I as friends. It would thrill me to death if at least one member of my family understood what the real battle was all about. I have Christian relatives, of course, but not a one understands what the battle is and what's going on in the battle. It would thrill me to death if a 16-year-old niece, who I didn't even know who she was, and she walked into the house. That would be so thrilling. So please be in prayer, Rebecca, and things in her soul, and I'm going to see if I can get her up here sometime, but just be in prayer for her. So please do, that's one prayer request. I talked to the Porosky's today. They're so appreciative of your graciousness to them, the manifestation of your spiritual love. Some wonderful things are going on in their life in regard to his job, getting their car fixed up where they can make it to the assembly here. As you know, they had the 16-year-old that's a lot of trouble, been in a lot of trouble. Well, he has met another friend who is a Christian and kind of likes the guy, and so this friend has a pretty good influence over him. Until he met the friend's mother, and now he really has an influence. She is a FBI agent and tolerates nothing. I mean, nothing. And he's seen the whole thing that he's learned here and these things, and he's seeing it from an entirely different perspective. This is another 16-year-old. It's kind of interesting. This is another 16-year-old that's beginning to put some things together that sometimes only a crisis will allow us to put together. So please be in prayer for the Porosky's at this time. I continue to be actually in prayer because I've devoted so much time a week to study, getting some publications out. We got not only here but other people calling and wanting them, maybe the churches now. You know, it's one thing to get something written, but it's another thing to have somebody want the thing. And so this has been a added encouragement to me, and we had some contribution made just for publication, and that's, we'll recognize that. And so please be in prayer in regard to the utilization of my time in getting some of these things done, and people that can help to get them done. In the other assembly, we had a much larger assembly to draw from, but even then we didn't draw anybody who understood what in the world I was teaching. So now I'm praying only for those who truly understand what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual love and the things that we're talking about in a life of faith. So please be in prayer about that. So I'm in need of your prayer. Okay, I've given you my private life. Now what about any other prayer requests tonight that we need to go together in the throne of grace? Yes. We weren't going to say anything. Beautiful.
Very first day. And, like, if we're all gathered here, let's get this straight and then let's move on. So it was very interesting. And my third request is that out of all probably 150 people that were there, a few of them might actually believe what we're saying.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. When we know that it has been clearly presented, well, then you can zero in. You can zero in even when the speaker messes it up. But it sure is nice when it's very clear. Yeah, that's good. We'll be in prayer.
And
let me stop because some of you have commented you like this, so I'm going to take advantage of continue doing it. Okay, what do we pray? She's asked for people that have been there today at a funeral, heard the gospel, want us to pray. What are we going to pray? Divine guidance. What? Comprehended. What about the third member of Godhead? Convicting. Get in there and make this very, very clear. This is his work. This is where he comes in, people. So I'm glad I paused it. This is now his time. The gospel's been presented. The ears have heard. And now, boom. Now is when you hit him blindside with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is something I can't do, you can't do, nobody else can do. But he's right there. He knows all the circumstances. And so now the Holy Spirit can do his work. So we're going to pray that these things will be done, and they'll just be so convicted and so sick and not left alone. They don't want them left alone. Okay, you got another?
Yeah. It's progressing. They're not expecting her to live very long. So, and his family's obviously been tested on a lot of different death issues.
We've seen the ripple effect. And some, if it affects one, it affects a multitude of other things. Right, go ahead.
And again, so I think, you know, this is happening all for a reason. So I'm hoping that they're all drawn to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit somehow working in their souls.
Good.
It becomes an understanding of why this might be happening and a comfort for her, especially.
Yeah. Is she close? Nobody knows. Okay. Very good. All right. Very good. Doctors are hesitant in doing that kind of thing. And rightly so. Understandably so. Okay. Any other requests? Yes, Jim. You want to pray for Rebecca or the college? All right. Very good, Jim. Anything special in that? Okay. Good. All right. That's it.
I would just like to
treat my brother Lonnie. Absolutely. Have they found out any more in regard to Lonnie's weird condition, weird circumstance?
It is, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
Okay. And again, these things that God brings into the medical realm are to do different things to the people that are on, and then, and again, all of those that are around them. So, need to be in prayer. Anything else? Yes? Well, he's got all the right parts there. We just got to put them together a little differently. Oh, I need to be in prayer for Kathy. Anything else? Your mom? Is your mom a Christian? Good. All right. Where's she live?
In Boston.
Okay. Is it severe? They didn't know.
There's been a biopsy. She's going for more testing.
All right. Just be in prayer for Miss Cameron. And what's going on with her? How's your sister?
Doing good.
Doing good? Good. All right, very good. All right. Anything else? All right, let's continue to be in prayer for those we know about. The hands weren't raised. Continue to be in prayer for West Tuttle. All of the people that live in this house at various times. And all the things that occur. So let's continue to be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for John Harvey. And just continue. Again, people, if a person decides to live by faith, they've entered into the battle. We've got a great study coming up Sunday morning with Abraham and our study of Isaac and Christ. But if a person makes that decision, it just comes down to that is the spiritual skill. And if faith is the spiritual skill of spiritual change, being transformed into the very image of our Savior, and if that is going to occur, then by faith, then you have to see that that's going to be constantly tested. Constantly tested. And it's just going, that's what it's about. Boom. Just over and over and over is what we're going to be tested in. It's just so powerful. I can't even wait. I was working today in Hebrew. And well, not today, but went through it to make sure I could wanted it in my notes the way I want it. But working on the two names of Abraham, and his first name was Abram, and his second name, the name that God gave him, Abraham. Now I'm not going to all give you anywhere near all that's going on, but you know what this word right there, the essential of that word, the heart of that word in the Hebrew. Everybody knows. Father of a multitude, father of many. Let me tell you what this word mainly is about. What this Hebrew word is mainly about. Reproduction. and in the spiritual and in the unseen of the spiritual realm and in the man's life. Reproduction. Isn't that what the great test of Isaac is all about? Is reproduction. It's what this whole thing is about. That's when his good name is going to be changed. Not when he's set to Christ the Savior, but at this whole point of that. And there are several things going on, but one thing that is going on is that you start off, if we start off with Abraham as the father of this whole new race and this whole new thing that we're talking about and dealing with, what we begin to realize is that the whole spiritual awakening begins with the awakening of our faith. And then our whole life is the reproduction of that faith in our life. And faith, and we studied the tests, seven tests. We studied seven of them last Sunday. Seven tests of Abraham. And it's all the this is all it's looking for, is the reproduction of faith. And got a powerful verse coming up Sunday dealing with all of this. And so this is what our life is about. It is about this right here, the reproduction of faith. Paul says it in Galatians and another place in Colossians, but how did you receive them by faith? That's how you continue to walk, is by faith. That becomes the great issue in the great battle, and as far as the Christian life is concerned. So we're going to constantly be tested in the area of faith. We're not going to stop. So if a person decides, as Abraham did, to enter into this battle of simple faith, people, you're going to be tested and given opportunity, whichever word you like, all through your life on the reproduction of that faith. The reproduction of the faith. Now, we know his name has also the historical realm of the reproduction by all who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But in his own life, his whole life is a reproduction of that faith over and over and over. And it's all headed toward a goal that we'll look at Sunday morning, a major goal. But you're not going to get away from it. As we saw Sunday morning, okay, I've been tested since I was 25 years old, Abraham, boom, 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 boom. And now I finally got the son of promise. I'm over 100 years old. Everything's in place. I can now relax. And just when he thinks all the testing is over, God says, Abraham, go kill your son. What? It's not over. That's not over for you, and it never will be. So what do I know, and what do you know? You know that every person in this room, every person in this assembly who have personally accepted Christ as Savior and then dared to make a decision, I'm going to live my life walking by faith. Not by knowledge, not by doing, not by emoting, not by serving, not by morality, not by all that. I'm going to walk my life as a life of faith has just entered into that realm that Satan cannot stand. So the marriages in this assembly are undeceived. Single people undeceived. Each other. So we know that. We don't have to necessarily. I want us to. I'm having trouble in my marriage. That's a tough thing to bring out in the open in an assembly. But we know that's happening. We know I'm having trouble in my health, having trouble in work, having trouble this, trouble that. We know that. Satan's going to hit. So we know that. So we continue to be in prayer for each other. Continue to be in prayer for those men that we know. It doesn't mean that we know them all, by any means. But the ripples that we can affect by prayer, those pastors that we know that are teaching salvation by faith, spirituality by faith, Rod Becker, Dan Hill, John Kent, Kendall Weeks, we know these men. We know what they're doing, and others. So we pray for them. We pray for their assemblies. They're praying for us. We pray for them. So these are the things that we have to continue to bring in. Anything else before we go together as an assembly? Okay, let's spend a few moments in prayer, and certainly if you want to pray aloud, please feel to do so, but if you don't, feel free not to. There's no law here, but we're going to spend some time together in this assembly going to the throne of grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves for the very purpose of praying and approaching the throne of grace together. Father, we now pray that your Spirit will be the teacher, illuminate for us the truth, the things that we have set before us to see, Father. We know that there are forces of darkness that would seek to impede our understanding and the seeing of these truths, Father. So we pray that you'll protect us for the next few moments as we open the Scripture and see things that are going on. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, to orient us, it's been some time, so we'll spend tonight and tomorrow night, and the next week get back into the 1 John chapter 2. But open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to make get into where we can start studying one or two of the impacts of spiritual love rather quickly here and move up to the fifth one. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we left off, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still more excellent ways. Okay. Again, just to get us into the momentum of where we are in looking at the Scriptures, what is the more excellent way? What is the more excellent way of life? America's dream. America is what, you know, the way everybody ought to live. And we relate a lot of the more excellent ways of life in the terms and descriptions of things related to the earth, related to me. But we come to what is the more excellent way, the superior way of life in the perspective of God. What is in God's perspective, what is the more excellent way? And what we're going to see in chapter 13, the more excellent way, the superior way, is to love as Christ loved. That is the goal, Paul says, of the Christian life, is to reach that point where you consistently love as Christ loved. And as we've seen, this is going to be one of the bases of rewards at the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Study the crowns, study the rewards. And all of the discussions encapsulated in the concept and in dealing with spiritual love. What we're looking at now, and I want to finish this up definitely tonight, the 10 reasons as to why is this the more excellent way? Okay. Spiritual love, dash loving as Christ loved, dash loving in the power of the Spirit, is what Paul is going to talk about in the next chapter. Why is it the more excellent way? Now, we're going to study 16 impacts, 16 effects of the force of spiritual love that it will make. But what I want to do by way of introduction, not only is love the more excellent way, and you can ask so many Christians, you're going to ask, and people who propose to be Christians, what is the more excellent way? What is it that is the goal? What is it that you really are to do for God and all these kinds of things? And we're going to get all kinds of answers. Service, righteous moral life, knowledge of the Bible, emotional experiences, being used of God, all these kinds of things. Scripture is very clear. The more excellent way is spiritual love, which is loving as Christ loved. And we're looking at why. Now, the first reason as to why spiritual love is the more excellent way, people, because it deals in reality. It deals in the reality of who and what you and I are. It deals in the reality. This is the real you. To live your life in spiritual love is to live in the realm of reality, because people, this is the reality of who you are in Jesus Christ. This is the more excellent way. This is because spiritual love deals with you in the reality of who and what you are. You are a new creature in Christ. Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine. Okay. This deals with the reality of who and what you are. That's why he made it this. It deals with the reality, not only of who you are in Christ, but it deals with the reality of the sin nature that we all have, that others have, that you have. Spiritual love lives in that reality. When we go through the things, people, of the 16 impacts just in 1 Corinthians 13. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Why is that the first thing said? What's going on? Because that's the reality of what you're going to have. Because, believer, you're going to let others down and others are going to let you down. And it is only spiritual love that is long-suffering. Trust is not long-suffering. Any kind of performance, people, any kind of a performance system Christianity is not going to be long-suffering. Because the moment you do not perform according to our performance system, law, you've had it. You've had it. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. It doesn't judge and separate and all that kind of garbage. It's kind. You go through all the things that we're studying spiritual love. Spiritual love deals in the reality of who you are in Christ, deals with you in the realm of your sin nature and others' sin nature. Because it can take it. Spiritual love can take it. It can take the abuse without weakening itself. So we saw that. Secondly, why is spiritual love the more excellent way, the superior way of life? Because of the word control. I can't control others. You can't control your wife. You can't control your husband. You can't control your dog. You can't control your environment. And most of all, and the most exasperating, you can't control God. And that's exasperating. Okay, maybe I can't control him, but boy, I wish I could control God and have him do this and do that and move the people on the board the way I want to move. We're not in control. Spiritual love puts you in control. Because no matter what's going on, spiritual love will not allow it to interrupt your relationship with Christ. People will hurt you. Circumstances will hurt you. If we can put it in the way that we like to phrase it, and without being blasphemous, but understanding David and Job and Peter and stuff, God's going to let you down sometimes, it seems. It's just going to get real. Well, spiritual love keeps you in control, whatever's going on. That's the power that God has given us, something very strong. Spiritual love, not human love. Spiritual love is very strong. Puts you into control of what's going on. Puts you in control of your own soul. You're not a slave. You're not a reactor to everything going on. Well, this goes on. It puts this button, this happens. This button, that. No. Spiritual love, you're in control. In the sense that you're not in control of anybody else, you, spiritual love puts you in control of yourself. We study that. Point three, spiritual love is the more excellent way because spiritual love draws all attention to the person of Jesus Christ. Not you. A performance system, what does it do? It draws attention to me. What I do. Spiritual love is not my love. It's not your love. It's the love of Christ. When people see the love that flows through you, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, what are they seeing? Are they seeing you? No. They see me, they see ugliness. They see spiritual love, they see Christ. This is what they see. Spiritual love draws. There everyone will know them. He does. What does Christ say? By this all will know. By what? And denominations and movements and people, all other ideas. Christ made it very clear. I just love. Because this love draws attention to him. Not me, not you, him. This is the way Christ loves. So this becomes extremely important. The fourth one, as you recall, I didn't know what to do with. So we linked it with a flow through understanding of all of 1 John. Spiritual love is the more excellent way because of all of the impact of 1 John, all the goals, that we may not sin. You reveal that you know him when you love as Christ loves. You keep his commandments when you love as Christ love. What are his commandments? Faith and love. We saw that in 1 John. That you are abiding in Christ. That you walk in the same manner he walked. Without spiritual love, your life is a life of lies. John teaches that. Where there is spiritual love, there is no fear. This is why it's the more excellent way. There's nothing else that does all of this stuff. It's spiritual love. It has all these things. No fear. No lie. Your life isn't a life of lies. And you're walking in the same manner he walked. It becomes very important in that regard. The fifth one. The fifth reason why this is the more excellent way. As we'll see in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, it is spiritual love that gives utility. It gives utility to everything you do and therefore makes you useful in the plan of God. And we've seen this, we've gone over this, and we'll see it when we get into 1 Corinthians. I won't elaborate it very much, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, if you do all those things, you give, and you use your spiritual gift, and you know all the mystery doctrines, and all this kind of stuff, all the common things, things that are common ingredients of what we think of as Christianity, if they're not in love, they're nothing. You're nothing. You say nothing, are nothing, do nothing. They have to be alchemized by spiritual love. The alchemizers in today's world are religious leaders. Religious people are the alchemizers. They're trying to take the common elements of prayer and witnessing and giving and all of these things and knowledge and everything else and make it something wonderful. Make it something acceptable to God. Turn it into gold by doing it more. You're not doing it right. Get more of this. Do more of that. Just trying to come up with the right formula of all of these common things common to Christianity. And they can't do it. They're like the old alchemist. I didn't use enough raw eggs. I didn't use enough horse hair. I didn't use enough little speckles of gold. I didn't use enough of this. And they keep working, and they kept working. The same thing going on today. But we have the alchemizing. We have the philosopher's stone, if you please. The spiritual love. Spiritual love transforms everything that you and I do into that, which is, gives it utility and makes you useful. Six, very important, it is spiritual love that makes you strong. I'll show you this as we go through chapter 13. Spiritual love, for an example, is long-suffering. You build a relationship on trust. You're weak. Because trust cannot be. Trust in man, not trust in God. Trust in each other. Use that as an example. Make you weak. Spiritual love is long-suffering. That makes you strong. Spiritual love bears all things. All things. People, when we get to that, it's awesome. Bears all things. God doesn't seem like he's God. This isn't going on. That isn't. Spiritual love can bear it. You let me down. Spiritual love can bear it. Trust can't bear the breakdown of trust, people, by definition. Build a relationship on trust and you're weak. Build a relationship on spiritual love and it'll make you strong. So we spent some time in studying this concept. Seven, very important in regard to just the daily life. Spiritual love guides. Spiritual love guides. This, and I need a verse. There isn't a verse. I'm sorry. What does God want me to do? I don't know. The spiritual love of God. That our God, the Holy Spirit, the pouring spiritual love will guide. It guides in every situation in your life. It'll guide your thoughts. It'll guide your actions. Spiritual love will never do wrong to another person. Never. Spiritual love cannot be immoral to another person. Spiritual love cannot do unrighteousness. That's why Christ didn't say, people, and nowhere does Paul even say, Paul doesn't say, if you do righteousness, you do lust. He doesn't say that. If you do lust, you do all righteousness. What's he saying? If we walk in spiritual love, you walk in spiritual love, it will guide you every circumstance. He walks in faith in the Spirit and he pours in spiritual love will guide into the thoughts and the actions that we need every moment. Guide our tongue. Guide in just in the area of dealing with husband and wife and friends, manners, thoughtfulness, sharp tongue as opposed to a tongue that is comforting and encouraging and enjoyable to be with. All these kinds of things, it guides everything that you and I do. That's what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love guides because it's sensitive. This is the number one concept, or not number one, but one of the main things about spiritual love. Spiritual love, it demands that you are sensitive and that you're ready to do whatever it takes. God was sensitive to the fact that we were damned and headed for an eternal lake of fire. Love was sensitive to that, and then love did something about it. This is not a love that was sensitive and didn't do anything. Well, boy, if I won't do anything, I'm going to have to send my son to die on a cross. I'm sensitive that man is going to hell. But if I go with my love, what I'm going to have to do is send my son. I'm sensitive that man is headed for an eternal separation from the Father. But if I, and I love man, but if I do anything about it, I'm going to have to die. Love will do it. Love will do it. Love, you will be, you as you walk more in the Spirit and He pours this in and you get more into the more excellent way of life, it will guide you. The sensitivity of others and their soul. What's going on in their soul? Not my soul. Their soul. At work, home, church, every place. This is the more excellent way. Very simple reason. And one that we forget about. But it's a major thing. It's the more excellent way because, people, it's every moment of your life. Every moment of your life. You have a spiritual gift. But you don't use a spiritual gift every moment of your life. I don't use my spiritual gift every moment of my life. Neither do you. We don't use it every moment of our life. Some gifts are just periodic. Some gifts are more operative daily. But nobody is a spiritual gift all the time. Spiritual love, every moment of your life, every relationship, every circumstance. And point nine, very important. This is the more excellent way, and it is demonstrated to everyone. It is demonstrated to everyone. People, there is not a person that you will meet in your life who is not in need of the love of Christ. And when they come in contact with you loving as Christ loved, they have come in contact with the love of Christ. Please think about that. We'll come up to it later in our notes. We're not going through these things. You may not think you're very important. You may not think your job is very important. What you do is very important. I want you to think about this. Wherever you go, you walk into a situation and you're loving as Christ loved. Let me ask you a question. What do you think of the cross? Oh, that's, you know, wow, that, you just jump. That's really, no, people. When you in your job, when you at home, wherever you are, love is Christ's love. That is the love of the cross right in front of them. You don't think you're important? I want you to think about that. When Wes walked into the music store and love is Christ's love, inside of that move, inside that music store is the love of the cross. The love demonstrated on the cross. I want you to think about that. Every time Brian and Jerry walk into the poor place and they love as Christ loved, in that machine shop is the love of the cross. And you want to make little of that and say that isn't important? I don't think so. I could just go to every one of you and pick you out. In your home, in your work, in your social life, wherever you are, I want you to know what's going on. As I have loved you, that spiritual love. How did He love us? He sacrificed Himself for us. And every time you manifest from you, you allow by faith the Holy Spirit to pour that love, the love of the cross. Every time Dave and Susan go into their company, Chris goes into hers with Leslie. And every one of you go into your works and your places where you function. The love of the cross is right there. You show me anything else that's not more excellent. Anything. That is more powerful, more excellent, more superior than that being demonstrated right where you are. People, that's powerful. It saved you and me. It attracted us. This is a superior way of life. This is the more excellent way. Oh, but I want to talk about I want to talk about my purity, how pure I'm going to be, and how righteous I am. I want to talk about how much knowledge I have. I want to talk about how much I serve God. I want to talk about my emotional tongue speaking. I want to talk about this and that. I don't want to talk about it. This is the more excellent way. This is the superior way. This is what God does. Can the power and the love of the cross be in your office and in your home and your social life? That's what it is. That's what we're talking about. This is what this will do to every person you and I meet. There's not a person that's not going to be in need of spiritual love, Christian or non-Christian. This is why Christ made the command, one of the reasons Christ made the command that you love one another, each other, people. It's hard to love a Christian who is causing you to suffer to love them as Christ loves, with spiritual love. He's going to love an unbeliever. Jesus. I don't expect it from an unbeliever. Spiritual love to each other. It's a more excellent way. It's a superior way of life. It's a superior way of life. Tim? And this is the final one. Spiritual love is a more excellent way of life. Because by its very nature, it demands that you walk by faith moment by moment. Spiritual love is the more excellent way. What Christ did here is ingeniously faithful. He didn't say, and he could have, and he'd been right, walk by faith. But he went for the greatest work of faith. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. And that's what Christ went to. So, if I'm going to love as Christ loved, this means that I'm not occupied with you. I'm occupied with Christ and how He loved me. If I'm going to have this love flowing through me, I am going to walk by faith in the one that God sent, God the Holy Spirit, to pour this love into me. We've studied several passages. This love is poured into us by God the Holy Spirit. When you walk by faith, this love is poured into your soul to flow out from your rivers of living water. Flowing of rivers of living water, we'll study this in John, flow out of you. So by when Christ said, do this, he was saying, you're going to have to walk a life of faith. You're going to have to walk a life of faith in God the Holy Spirit, moment by moment faith in the Spirit, and he is going to cause you to be totally occupied with how Jesus Christ loved me, and that's what's going to flow through you to the other person. It's ingenious what he's done. He said, you're going to have to walk by faith if you want this love to flow through you. And you put all of these together, they all add up to the another major thing that we'll see. People, this is the more superior way of life, because when you stand at the Bema Seat, which may not be that far away, and is certainly certain, this is going to get the reward. Loving as Christ loved. The love of Christ, that God exalted him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he loved. And his love caused him to sacrifice for the benefit of others. And the same thing's going to be with you and me. He's going to take that same love that flows through you, the love of the cross, and when you demonstrate it in your life, throughout your life, and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, listen to waiting. It's not going to be how much do you know. It's not going to be how much did you emote. It's not going to be how good were you. It's not going to be all of these lists. going to do if you trust me. Pour this love through you and fulfill all of these things. And that's why, as we've seen before, we'll do it every now and then. Take your tip, because I like to be conscious of that bema seat, that judgment seat. Our spiritual love is with every one of those things that are going on in the rewards. All the crowns, all the rewards related to this love. It's a more excellent way. You won't find a more excellent way than to love as Christ loved. Pursuing this love, and we pursue it by walking in faith. We'll start here tomorrow night with closing a word of prayer. Father, what we begin to have revealed to us, the spiritual warfare, and we begin to have revealed to us the place that your love is in this whole battle. Your love towards Satan. Your love towards your Son. Your love toward us. We begin, Heavenly Father, to get a glimpse of that power source that's flowing through us, the force of spiritual love, that nothing else can even come near it. It defeated Satan on the cross. Your love did. Your love satisfied your own requirements of holiness. And your love redeemed us out of sin. And so, Heavenly Father, it is our purpose to pursue this love and to fight the battle of faith. And we expect, Father, we anticipate, expect this love to flow through us when we walk in your spirit. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.